Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for you to join us, all of you who are following us tonight on Facebook, on our live stream, as well as from the Blog Talk Radio platform on this June 13th, 2023. Tuesday night. Tonight, as you know, we will be having our regular community-based or social discussion. And we want to invite you in for the next hour or so to join us here. I got a couple of callers in queue. We'll be right with you, callers. Thank you for joining us. We do have a monologue tonight, and you know the regular format. Some nights we just have open microphone where I hear from you. But tonight we do have a focused discussion, a topic that I will be giving some context to by offering a monologue. And then I want to hear from you. Somebody may see it a little different. I grow when you talk, and I think you grow when I talk. So that's how we do this. And we're grateful. Give us a call here. Join us tonight. Give us a call. We got a new number for the show, 999-3617. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. All right. We'll get right into it. Facebook, feel free to post your questions and comments in the communication thread there. We'll be happy to respond to them accordingly. All right. So tonight, our topic is how to hold your brother accountable. How to hold your brother accountable. Now I know, there are a lot of things going on around the United States of America right now. And there's a lot of distrust. Unfortunately, in major cities, even right here in Nashville, there are people hurting one another. Typically, it used to be the case that women had greater support base and groups and what have you. That seemed to even be waning some. Dog eat dog out there. But for a long time, in my come up, I've noticed that brothers have a hard time looking one another in the eye and trusting one another. Now, it is quite often assumed that the greatest indication of a man's stability is his outward projection. In other words, his show of strength and dominance. Physical abilities can be the very cause of his demise if he's not careful. Right? If he doesn't keep it in check. Now, perhaps the most important lesson, a boy growing up, we talked about that last week, but the most important lesson a boy can learn in his journey to manhood is how to make sure that he has somebody that he don't upset, some friend, someone that he can trust that will hold him accountable even when he's wrong as he moves through life. But tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We got some callers in queue for the next about hour or so. We're going to have a discussion on that, how to hold them accountable. And before I open up the phone lines, what I want to emphasize is I want to zone in on two words there. and that is, one, his dominance and his strength. His dominance and his strength. Proverbs 16 and 18 reads like this in the King James Version. Very simple. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I've heard it said like this on the streets. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Yeah. You may be a big figure, but you can be smoked by somebody. Are y'all with me? What are we? And in reality, where we are is that, yes, every man have a right to identity, to dominate, to be respected wherever he goes. Every man has a right to his family, has a right to make a way for himself. But what you don't have a right to do is to step out of due bounds with other men. That includes their women and children and the greater society that you live in. Oftentimes, many males, we talked about male, going from a male to being a boy to being a man to being a husband and a father. But many males miss out on an important lesson. These boys oftentimes are not, haven't mastered the art of being respectful and breaking covenant with their brothers such that you don't step out of due bounds with them. You with me? I want to open up the discussion to you. I do want to open up the discussion to you. But it's important to know that at the end of the day, no man is an island that can stand alone. And at some point, we're going to need somebody, brother. We're going to need somebody if it ain't nothing but to put dirt on you to give you a decent interment. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Now, yeah, you got a right, and you can say, well, I ain't messing with him over there. I don't even mess with that cat like that, right? Yeah, you can say that. But how many times can you get away with that before you find yourself all by yourself? You have a problem socializing and getting along with other people. You understand what I'm saying? And the question becomes, at what point are you able to expand even your own territory and share that with others? How do you hold your brother accountable? I don't have all the answers. I don't pertain to, but I got some men on here with me now, and I want to open up the floor to them, and hopefully co-host will join us, Pastor Waller. And maybe I should ask them. Maybe I should ask them. My good brother and nephew out of Peoria, Illinois, is joining me, Brother Lewis Brown. How you doing, Brother Brown?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. How are you?
Better now.
Hello?
To hear,
you better?
To hear good brother. Yes, sir. I'm better now. See? I was doing okay, but I'm better now to hear a good brother like you. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm glad to hear you, man.
Yes, sir. And I have Pastor David Lomax on, who's here in Nashville with us. Pastor, how you doing, sir?
Doing good, doing good.
Good, good.
Good to hear from you. Good to be on.
Okay, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just saying I'm all right. How you doing?
Good, good. Pastor Wallace, thank you for joining us. That's Pastor Wallace. Lewis, that's Pastor Wallace. This is Brother Lewis.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Wallace? I ain't heard from you in a minute, man.
Now, all right. All right, Brother Lewis. Man, how are you, brother?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I'm here. I made it.
That's good, man. Well, you got my condolences, too, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. I'm sure we all miss it, you know?
Yeah, man. Without a doubt, man. Big time you got that from me, man.
81-12. I'm going to live 81-12.
Man, that number, man, I'll never forget that number, man. I told Pastor Doctor when he was going down, I said, man, remember, I know 8112, man, that's the number. I ain't going to never forget that.
Oh, they spoke big on it, man. They did big for my mom. They celebrated and stood up for a very, very highly. So I thank you all, man.
Great.
I thank everybody on the station who listened to her and supported her through her journey. As short of amount of time as we had with her, is very impactful. And from my family to yours, we really do appreciate it.
Oh, man, much obliged, brother. Yeah,
we're grateful.
Just great.
Yeah,
okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're
extremely grateful.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So, gentlemen, this is an opportunity. I got four men online tonight, and the topic is how to hold your brother accountable. How do you hold me accountable? Let's start with you, Brother Lewis. How do you hold your brother accountable? If you see him wrong and you know he's wrong, I mean, dirty. He out there ragged, dirty. Do you say anything to him or do you just let him go?
It's a delicate situation. I actually have altogether, I have six brothers. My dad has a couple of his own other kids outside of the kids that you have with my mother. And each individual, man, you have to, what I learned from with my brothers and out of respect for them, that you got to treat them individual. And you have to respect them as you do yourself. For what you want for yourself, you got to give them the same respect because it doesn't work two ways. You know, it work one way, respect. It's a two-way street, but it only go, you know, the way that you pushing it. So if you're giving them respect, I believe you're going to get that with them. But if you go at them, trying to force them, hey, man, you're going to take care of that business, then I think you're going to get that same energy, you know?
Okay. Interesting. Now, Pastor Wall, I know you know a lot about this because part of your life now is turning things on the flip side, right? You know the traps, as you often speak of, that are out there that can get a brother caught up. Right? Knowing those traps, do you ever reserve the right to say, you know what, I ain't got nothing to do with that? Or do you step in and you let them know, listen, the Bible said if you have a fault with your brother, you take it to him. Don't go behind gossiping or what. You take it to him. Confront him with it. What about that, Pastor Warner?
I mean, that's what the Word said. The Word of God does say that. However, it still has to do with meeting people where they are. And that's one of the things that was done with me. When the man came to me, he didn't force me to change my direction. And what he did, he came with compassion because the Word does say when a person, you know, is overtaken in a fault, he who is spiritual restores such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering his own self being tempted himself. So I had to put myself in the same predicament or condition that the person is in, especially if I once upon a time was in it. So all I can do is meet them right where they are and share with them, you know, what happened and what I went through and how I was able to make it through it versus saying you got to do it this way. And that's the worst thing a person can do is to make a person have to force them to understand, even though what you have to offer is genuine and worth having, but it's just a way to go about it, and that's what I still have to stand firm on, is the meekness. Because if it had not been for that, I would have forced my whole community to change because of what I know. But
okay.
I had to meet them all where they are, and there's so many different attitudes, so many different personalities, and one have their own, as Brother Lewis was saying, one have their own personal, you know, relationship with life as a whole. And it's not easy, but it can be done. So you have to, according to what I've learned, I have to do what the man did with me, and that was he came with compassion, and it worked. Took a little while, but it worked, you know. It's called seed planting. You plant the seed, and then you plant it on good ground, then the chances are, if a person wants what you have to offer and are willing to put forth effort to get it, then they're well on their way. But you have to make sure, you know, and that's the way I go about it.
Okay. Well, now, I'm going to bring a Marine in, and I'm going to let him tell you. When you battlefield with your soldiers, do you leave them behind, Pastor Lomax? And if not, to what extent would you bring them up?
Well, I believe that you're only as strong as your weakest link. So if you can't get the weakest link, mobile, moving, motivated, it's going to be hard to continue with those who are stronger because they're going to keep looking back at what's holding them back. So I believe in the weakest link is we're just as strong as our weakest link.
I want to describe something to you. Genesis, the first chapter, Lewis, 28th verse, suggests that Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, invested man with dominion, power, over all that he had created. Man didn't make it, God made it, but he gave him power over it. And some of us, I'm going to put myself in there, Lewis, some of us think I can do whatever I want to when I get ready because I'm a man. And I'll fight for the protection. Is that a good, Lewis, is that a good mindset?
No, and I'll tell you why, because with dominion comes a power and a respect for everything, you know what I mean? So just because you are in that position of where you can conquer and rule, you have a responsibility for all that you conquer and rule. And it's the thing to that, man, you can't take it, oh, I am the man, but, you know, these things are here for you to become that man, you know? So if you take advantage of that and you beat this tree down, now you kill your oxygen. You kill all your food sources.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So you kill the land around you. You kill everything around you. Or you kill, say, let's put it to people. You beat your community up. You beat your support system up. You whoop all your brothers because you got dominion. God told you you're special. I'm going to give you dominion over everything around you. And you kill it all. Now you're no longer, you don't have dominion over anything, not even yourself, because you're alone. So you just do what you want to do, not what you're responsible for doing. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor. You want to chime in on that?
I mean, I'm listening to the power of togetherness, because, and Pastor Lomax, I just wanted to make sure, man, I say to you in your mentality of being able to understand what it's like to be a good soldier and to just deal with how Brother Lewis just put it. If I just utilize the power that I have, dominion over everything, and I can call the shots and do it like I want to do it and forget all about that a person is to be met right where they are, then I've destroyed everybody and it's only me. So what am I going to do? That would be selfish on my part, even though it hurts. But the best thing to do is to lead by example. And that's one of the most powerful tools that can handle the enemy. It is, because we need some great examples. And to be a good soldier, a person is going to apply the things that's necessary where he can prove that he is really actually walking what he's talking. And it's one of the easiest things to do is just to talk it. But to be able to apply it, it was something that I had to learn to do and learn to say, okay, I've been having an answer to a solution, and I'm using for an example, for 3 years during that time. I was walking it for 3 years, but remember, I didn't have it at first. But when I got the answer and the solution to this particular problem, I had it for 3 years, just like to myself. I'm like, I got all this power right now, and I'm keeping it to myself. I don't feel right. I don't want it all to myself, because when I was working for the devil, I didn't keep that stuff to myself. But I had no knowledge. And so when God gave me a chance to, now you can go in and speak to the people about it. Well, he wanted to make sure that I applied it so I could be that good example. And that's what happened. And that was over 28 years ago, you know, when I had those 3 years. You know, so 28 years to go with those 3 years, it's been that way for 31 years now. So if I had just bum-rushed the people because I wanted them to see things my way, even though I knew I had the solution because God gave it to me, but he wanted to make sure that I walked it as well as talked it. So it's not easy to do when you see hurting people because you want the best for them, and that's where I was. And it's still tough, you know. You
can I chime in on that?
Sure, sure.
It's like say you read a book and you find out something that nobody else knows or that nobody around you know.
But they
want to know. And you keep that knowledge to yourself. You just robbed yourself. You robbed everybody around you. Because knowledge is to be shared. And if you don't share that knowledge with people that you say you care about, you robbing them. And how can you care?
That's heavy,
that's
brother.
The truth, though.
Look, Jim,
that's
wait
the truth.
I'm going to set a scenario, and this is based on, and I'd like to just play a sample of the OJs. Y'all know this, Pastor Wally and Lomax, back in the 70s, they had a powerful cut that was entitled, "Don't Call Me Brother, Unless You Really Mean It."
Mm-hmm.
In the ghettos of America, brotherhood was tested when men got hungry in the same neighborhood, when they women walked around them in the same neighborhood. Are y'all with me? Now, let me set it up. And y'all come on back at me now, Lou. This is time to get Dr. straight. We in the car.
I'm with you.
We riding on 6-4, right? We're going down Avenue 7. It's all four of us. Lolo,
okay.
Fat Ricky, Lou, Doc. Okay?
Okay.
Woo! We get
bored. Boys in the hood, huh?
Yeah. We blew like it. And the authority that pulls us over tells Lo, Frederick, and Brother Lou, y'all get out of here. Leave Dr. here.
Right.
Y'all take
can't go, man.
Right now.
I'm going to jail with you. I've been in this situation. Hey, it's unfortunate, but I'd have been there. I'd have had to take that beating with my man. I got the county mugshot to prove it. It's in the papers. But I'm going to leave you because I know how dirty they do you when you take off. When you run in the woods, they do your boy real dirty.
Come on now. Come on. Wait a minute.
That's the truth. That is the God's honest truth, man. They do you dirty when you leave your boy by himself. See, them ain't your friends.
Yeah.
Then they commence to doing stuff to you that's unholy, you know. So,
what,
and it's rough out here, man. That's rough because then you lose all your sense of pride, all your sense of community, all your sense of self. Once you that brother, when they do take off, them guys you thought was really your guys, that one that stay with you, you're like, man, you stupid. You should have ran. But I'm glad you're here. You know what I mean? Because two of us better than one of us. One of us might survive.
Can I share a personal story with you? A point of personal privilege here. Permit me, gentlemen. Permit me just for a second. Probably one of the most valuable things I learned as a young teenager on 43rd and Drexel was that everybody fight ain't your fight. You ain't got no business.
Huh? Yeah.
See? That came to my in the project on a summer day in July. I'm chilling, minding my business.
Right.
Come on, go get them. Let's go get them. I don't know who them is. All I know, I jump up. I ain't even washed myself, but I ain't even took a bath yet.
But you're on your way, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting it. I'm running down the street with them, man. We get out to the park, and it's a big brawl out there. Big brawl.
Wow.
Literally, golf club, bat, stick, knives, fist, brawl.
Oh, boy.
And the next thing I know, I'm on the ground. I'm on the ground, and I'm getting the dog stumped out of me. You understand what I'm saying? I look up, and guess what
sir.
I see? Oh, man, guess what I see? The only thing I can see in front of me.
The guy that you was really kicking you, huh?
The footprint of my so-called friends running as I'm back.
Oh, wow, that's even worse.
I was at home.
That's equivalent to getting kicked, Bob, because you're getting kicked, and if they fought you, getting kicked, and they running away, huh?
I should have been at home where my mom
yeah.
paid. Are y'all with me? That's where I should have been.
Here.
But I call myself going to be loyal to what? To the clique.
No cost. Man.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Lessons
how
can
do
be
you
painful.
Yes, go ahead, Pastor Lowman. Go ahead. Come on, talk to me.
I just said lessons can be painful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What you say, lessons can be painful, yeah.
No, that was painful. And the point I'm trying to make is, gentlemen, is this. If we are in a community, it's necessary that we cut. The Bible in the Old Testament talks about cutting covenant with your brother. In other words, being in agreement. How can two walk together except what? They agree.
They're in agreement.
What are they going to agree on? What do we agree on? We agree that if we come in together, we leave together. You take one of us, you got to get all of us. Huh? Ain't nobody talking to me. I feel like I'm praying. I'm in the wilderness all by myself, and I can't hear nobody praying. Is that right, gentlemen? We're talking about holding one another accountable now. Now, so say I'm beating my wife up, Luke. I'm going upside the head. And you know I am. You see the bruises on her. Do you say something to me? You take me for a walk, put your arm around me, and say, come on, man. Is that in order, Luke?
Yes. I'm here. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
Because
okay.
It's in order.
Okay. Okay. So now, say I'm stealing. I'm the preacher, and I'm stealing from the church, Pastor Wallace. And you know I'm stealing, man. Huh? Do you put your arm around to commit, Doc? Maybe they hadn't caught you yet, but I saw you, man. I saw you with your hand in that cookie jar. You got chocolate chip all around your mouth. Do you talk to me real fast, or do you just let me ride?
Well, I know the fear that I have, so I know me when it come down to that particular situation. Versus being in the streets, you know what I mean? Because in the streets, it's totally different than that. And even coming in the church, walking upright, and you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden you see something like that, you still have to have that compassion and say, what if that was me doing that? What? How would I want him to approach me? So I always put myself in a situation like that, and so I come with what I've learned. And if I don't know anything and he's pulling out that kind of cash, I might join in with him if I don't know no better. So
I see.
So my job is to know if I'm spirit-filled, I can at least offer him something that, a suggestion, you know, and that's where that goes. You got to, you know, by force, one thing is by force, you know, and who he may have seen do that himself. He may have been taking notes and following somebody else's footsteps that's doing it. You never know the situation, but I just wouldn't say what I learned according to fear. I was so fearful when I went up into the church. I was scared. I was scared not to do wrong. I mean, I didn't say do right. I was afraid not to do wrong because what I came into church doing, I was snoring heroin in church.
Wow.
You know, and so I can't say, hey, man, you're stealing the money. and then but I'm going to join Herod in church. You see what I'm saying? So I can come to him.
A thief, no matter where you're at. A thief, no matter where you're at. An addict, no matter where you're at. So,
yeah.
A demon, no matter where you're at.
That.
It's just, it is what it is with people. In the streets, they got a different set of rules than they do in church, as they do in court of law, you know? So everything is based on your environment at that point in time. You expect people to do drugs outside the church, don't mean they don't do drugs in the church. You expect people to steal outside the church, don't mean they won't steal in the church. So, I mean, things happen, man. You just got to judge a person based on they character and who they are and based on their actions. So if I catch
you
in church stealing, it should be no different than if I caught you on the street stealing because of the same crime where you did it at.
Yeah. And it's changeable.
Okay.
I mean, you have to look at it, it's changeable. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor Lomax. Go ahead, Pastor Lomax.
I don't believe I have a right to hold my brother accountable.
You don't have a right?
I don't have a right to hold my brother accountable. I don't have a right to. I don't have a right. I don't have a right to demand or expect from my brother. The only right I have is to be accountable to myself. To make sure I carry myself right, so that my conversation about how to be a man or what a man is like is being lived and being seen versus being talked about. Because everybody has a different personality just as much as everyone has a different DNA. Our understandings are different based on our environment, based on how we were grown up, how we were raised, even the generational divide. So to hold my brother accountable means that I find no fault in him.
I see.
So if he's doing something wrong, I can approach him without blaming him or faulting him or pointing a finger at him. I can come to him like a brother and let him know I've been there too.
Yeah.
I'm still better than you.
That was my earlier point. That's what I was saying earlier. Don't judge anybody unless you're willing to judge yourself the same way.
Right.
Okay. Well, what did Jesus mean when he said, love your neighbor as yourself? Somebody help me with that. Because what that sounds like to me, brethren, is I love myself enough to grab me in the collar if I'm about to go off a cliff. I love me just that much.
Look at the sequence. First it says love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul.
Then it says
love your neighbor. It could say love yourself, then your neighbor. Okay.
Come on.
You can't love anybody if you don't love yourself, and you can't love yourself if you don't love the Lord. But if you love the Lord, it's because you've taken on the image of Christ in your heart. What is love? What does love mean to you?
Because what love means to me and what love means to you might not be the same thing.
Right. Love means to
how
me
you
is true.
Yourself and how I love myself might not be the same thing.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah,
right,
you can't
but I can't.
That.
I can't.
Yeah,
I can't love you. I certainly can't love you if I don't love myself. That's one thing I can't.
Right, but I'm saying you got to know what the definition of love is for self, for yourself, before you can even begin to love me. Because if you're not even accurate on what love is for you, you can't possibly give me something you're not giving you.
Yeah, and the definition of love is God. For God is love. That's why
right.
he says love
yeah,
with all your
that,
heart, mind, and soul. Because loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul gives you the power to love yourself
right.
and to love others.
Love another. Yeah, I understand that. Thank you for answering that. That's all I was asking.
Yeah.
So what's your concept of love, brother? And by the way, we're joined by Jacksonville, Florida, 3072. Welcome, man. Give us a second. We got some brothers on here trying to understand how to hold one another accountable. And I heard something that says, he said, I can't hold them accountable. Somebody said, I don't believe you can hold them accountable. But hold on, just hold on. Lou, what's your ideal love, man? What is love to you, man? And this is an interesting thing.
What is
because,
love to me?
Hold on one second. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. One second.
I'm
going to give you the flow. Let me fix this up right quick, Louis, because this is key right here. There are a lot of broken individuals, hurtful individuals, who never learn love at home. So they come outside with obscurity about what it means to love anybody. Go ahead, Luke. You got the floor.
So if I could, I would totally agree with the last gentleman just said that love is God, man. Once you get a true understanding of who God is and how how willing he is to forgive and forget some of the things that we do, not only to others but to ourselves, and still show us the love and admiration and the blessings that we receive. If you could do that, if you could receive that from him, and you could transfer that to another being, like a child or a cousin or a nephew, just unbiased, unconscious love, just whole energy. I give you what I got. I'll be there for you when you need me, no matter what it is. I won't judge you. I won't hold you accountable because I know what it is to make mistakes. I know what it is to be wrong. I know what it is to be misunderstood or misguided. And sometimes just malnutrition, just making bad decisions because you're not within your right mind or your right state of mind. So love is somebody that's unconditionally caring for you, and they refuse to turn their back on you because they are human themselves.
Yeah,
I think so. I see.
There's a song that says the songwriter wrote, "Love is a many splendid thing, for it means it comes in many different directions." But the pureness of love comes from the heart of a Christ-like individual. Because what we do is we mimic Christ. We mimic Christ in our humility. We humble ourselves before God. And it allows us to walk. See, you was talking about the dominion, man being wanting power and wanting to be dominant over everything. See,
right.
God took that from us. We gave that up. So we no longer have that. We've been chastised for that.
Can I push back on you?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish it out. Go on. But I want to push back on you because I'm going to play the devil's advocate tonight. I'm going to defend the devil. I'm his lawyer tonight. I'm the devil's lawyer tonight. But before I do that, 37-2, what you got to say about this? Because we're doing a power. Because I want to get to this accountability thing, to what does it mean to account? That's what I think we should break that word down, look at the meaning of accountable, what it means to give account. But 37-2, can you want to say something right quick before we go on too much further?
No, I'm just enjoying the dialogue and what I'm hearing. And hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello there, 37-2. How are you?
Hey there, Pastor Wallace.
But
yeah, I'm just enjoying what I'm hearing. Sounds
okay.
Like everybody is right in what they're saying. I mean,
okay. I'm gonna jump on my big brother. Brother Lowe, man. Because you saying stuff to me, man. You be saying stuff, man. I want you to understand it like I'm 3 years old. So you said that you essentially intimated, if you got Christ, you're going to act like Christ, and that's your expression of love. Okay, I won't accept that, but only one problem. Suppose I don't know nothing about no Christ. I haven't seen him before. I had a young man heard him pose a question. He said, "Louis, y'all been talking about Jesus coming back for 2,000 years. He ain't got back here yet. Maybe he ain't coming. Maybe he ain't coming." Now,
since you said my name, my response would be that maybe he never left.
Well.
Never left.
Watch out, man. Watch out. Maybe he wasn't gone. You just didn't know it. That, okay.
Well. Yeah.
So
I mean, to each his own. Everybody look at Jesus and God in the light they look at him at. But for my door, he been there with me, so
wow.
I don't know too much about him not being there for me. I wouldn't have made
okay.
it this far.
Okay. So now to account means to put something up. You got to add something or produce something. Are y'all walking with me now? And
yeah.
when talking about showing deference or love, concern for your brother, some sacrifice got to be made by somebody. I'm going to tell y'all now, if y'all find me out in the middle of the street and I'm down with my face in dung, somebody please give me up. You may say, he just robbed somebody. He's a drunkard. He's a low-down, dirty, junkyard dog.
I'll pick you up, Mom. I'll pick you up.
Well,
I don't care what you are. It don't matter to me. You one of mine. I can't leave you down there, man. Stay down
okay.
for long. We got to breathe. Because we can clean you up. We can wash you off, and you can get off of all that. Because change do come.
I'm about to mess you up.
What we can do is look beyond your faults and see your needs.
I see. Go ahead.
I was just going to be the devil's lawyer, too. you know, and all of that is very helpful, but we have to be careful while we picking him up. We're not just setting him up to keep going back in the same spot and letting him lay down without making any changes.
Down, yeah. How many times have you been down there?
I mean, or anything, or else we may be just enabling, behavior and patterns, and it happens a lot within our community. And it's just sad to see. Yeah.
And you're right. That's
sometimes
a good point.
We can love in the wrong ways. Yeah, we can love in the wrong ways sometimes.
That's a good point because sometimes
how do we go about facing it? Sorry.
Hmm?
How would we go about, like, correcting behaviors then? Like, if that's what you're saying, if that's what I'm hearing, you say, like, if Dave does have a pattern of falling down, how do we pick him up without enabling him to keep going down that same road? What would we need to do to help him stay up?
I got an answer. I got my hand up. But Pastor Lomax is saying something before I answer. That's a great question you posed, Brother Lord. Pastor Lomax, you were talking before we went. Brother Lomax, you there? Okay. Maybe he's But look here, Lord. Now, if I'm your brother, that means we come from a common thread of experience, right? Even if we were not didn't have the same blood mother or father, if I call you my brother, that means we share a common bond. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. And based on that bond, the things that we share that we went through, it seems to me that the expectation would be if nobody else comes to my defense, you would. The question was asked to Cain in the beginning when God saw his brother Abel with his blood in the streets. Cain said, hey, where's your brother? Now, you know what he said? You know what he said? He got jazzy with the Lord. That's me, man. Am I my brother's keeper? Are you? Are you willing to make
sacrifice? Yes, I am.
Watch out now.
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to say that if it'll save his life, I will make myself vulnerable? Are you willing to say that he's no better and I'm no better, no greater than he is, and they're just like Jesus? Greater love than a man that will what? Die man.
All those things you just asked me, I could answer me honestly and say, yes, I've done that multiple times and still will on any given day, multiple times a day, multiple times a night. That's just who I am. And that's an honest thing because I couldn't let them down, you know, or let them go without going with them.
Sometimes, I'm going to say something here, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it may require you to step outside of the norm and to pull him out of dangerous way. But it may require you to. Now, is he going to like you put your hands on him? Probably not at the moment. But when he wake up, he'll thank you for being alive. Am I wrong about that, Pastor Wallace? Anything wrong with that?
Well, no, nothing wrong with that. You know, but it's, you still, when you're dealing with issues like that as a whole, and you have someone strong and someone that's weak, and when you have everybody weak, and then it's so hard, it's going to be very hard to get the common solution. But when you have that's strong, the person that is strong should not pretend that they're not. And when you have compassion, and we're dealing with the scripture, because a lot of us, we're not going to be faced with dealing with scriptures. Where I came from, out in the real world, that wasn't something that we dealt with. So we had to go for what we do. And most of my friends, when we all got captured, we all were weak. And so I had to break away to find myself in order to go back to help my friends, you see? And that's where the difference came in at. But before that, I mean, we all stood together. And I've been pulled over when I was in the game. It was a car full of us. And we was pulled over, and the police, they found something. Nobody said nothing. Everybody went to jail, but we weren't telling on nobody. That's just how we went at it. And we all beat
the case. Nobody got charged. They had to throw it out.
They had to throw it out. Who it really belonged to was giving it, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Like, as if, even though they didn't get it from me, it still might be mine. They got it outside somewhere, but nobody's claiming. Nobody said what it belonged to that person. And then the person that it belonged to wanted to strike out to run it, which would have meant that it's mine. But the person
it goes back to
us. Stay there, and then make a long story short, we all went to jail, but we all was released as a result of not putting each other down. So that don't happen too much today, but I think Brother Lewis, what you said, I mean, it's still whole value when you're in the streets. And so what we're talking about now is somebody that's spirit-filled. And he said, we being who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So that's where the compassion come in at, is that I know I got to be able to say, okay, this person is weak, and I'm strong, so I got to exalt this person that's weak more highly than myself. And that's the way you get the job done, and I'm believing that it would make a difference
and
in that person every week. Yes, sir.
Pastor Wallace, I think it go back to what Reverend Dockery was saying earlier. It's about to hold somebody accountable is about trust.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in that car knew whose stuff that was, but nobody was willing to turn that man in. So it was about trust for y'all that he had to have, knowing that he was guilty for having put y'all through that. But to hold him accountable, to get to the accountability of where y'all is, like, you know you was wrong for that, but we'll deal with that after we deal with this, was the level of trust. And that's where
that
brotherhood come in at. That's the brotherhood. Yeah. That's the bond. Because after y'all dealt with that, nobody got charged, but at the same time, it's like, man, you put us all in danger. But y'all trust y'all not to tell on me. So it's a level of trust. You got to have trust in order to even build that bond of accountability or credibility. Like, to go back to what Reverend Doctor was saying, it's got to amount to something. It's got to be something that's substantial that comes out of this, or it's no accountability. If you don't have any substance, to what I'm holding you accountable for, we have nothing anyway. So it doesn't matter if you held accountable or not, because there's nothing there to be accountable for. Nothing there. It's nothing to account for. It's nothing to amount to.
There you go.
And that was
that's it.
And that was at that point in time. That's correct. That's and it was that moment. It was that moment where all that took place. And so you had to either stand firm or either go to agreeing with the one that's really saying that it belongs to somebody. So tell us who it belongs to. And that's
right.
The thing about it. I just had a thought when I heard that. And you know, and like I say, it's up to us to respect that the difference is that when you're dealing with the gospel, which is the good news, and then you're having people that's very weak and they need somebody to encourage them, I think they'll listen, you know, and in time they get their lives together. But it may not come when you want it to, but it's always on time, and that's what I have to look at now. I just thank you that you had compassion on me. Because I'm weak. I'm very weak. So when you have that kind of compassion on a weak person, man, they mess around
right.
And appreciate it.
You know what? When you don't have a solution, almost any solution sounds better than none. So that's really what it comes down to.
Hey,
that's right.
Let me slip it in right quick. Let me slip it. We got about maybe about 10 more minutes before we wind up for the night. Let me slip this in. Nashville Avenue. North. Meet us this Friday, June 16th, from 5 until. We'll be there. I don't want you to meet me there. I want you to beat me there. Okay? And look for the tents. And there's some good stuff under the tents. And part of this is the accountability of brothers. Well, this accountability of brothers. Holding one another accountable. Something. To some standard. Alright? So, again, meet us there. You listen to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, how to hold your brother accountable. What can you hold him accountable to? Now, I'm not with this idea of allowing the devil to run free through my neighborhood, through my family, through my community with impunity and don't nobody stop him. I ain't with that. Now, I know I said I was defending the devil tonight, but I want him to know, partner, you want to fight down, because that dog ain't going to. If you are the problem, then we need to resolve you. We can help you. I'm going to help you. But I ain't going to wallow in the dirt with you. I'll get down there with you to get you up, but we ain't going to live down there together. Ain't there anything wrong with that, gentlemen and ladies? Ain't no wrong
thing. No, sir.
Not a thing.
Yes, sir.
Who was that?
Passion.
Yeah. Listen. But look, Pastor. But you know how I feel, man. You know, you leave me alone. You know what's up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of us about to get up. We ain't about to lay here. That's what Bobby Womack was talking about when he talking about Harry Hipper. I'm going to have to put it down, man.
That's a good song. That's a great song. But
it's
a beautiful song. And I want to say this before we wrap up. I give any one of you gentlemen or the lady that's on this mic more power in my life than I ever give any devil on this earth or in the afterlife, because he powerless until you give it to him. And so I put my power into my brother and trust that he holds me accountable for my actions, and I hold him accountable for his actions. With trust and love between us, that we're gonna do the right thing for each other. And I think it's been a great topic and a great show and a great conversation for me to catalyst through my life as I go through my life talking to my people that I talk to day to day, because it is something that you need to think about. Who can you trust when you down and up?
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right, brother. That's right.
I like that. Who do you trust?
I appreciate y'all, and thank y'all for that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We got just about 6 minutes. I guess we'll go around the barn here and see what everybody else got to say. 3072, thank you. I hope we weren't talking a bunch of gibberish to you. I know sisters get sick and tired of hearing brothers talking about nothing. I hope we've made some sense of it, 3072.
No, I don't think you guys are talking gibberish. I can relate. I think that's what's missing today is accountability, and people don't have the support that they used to, like Pastor Walla was saying back in the day, you know, that helped to make a break or change situations for people. And it's just lacking and missing almost today. So it's important.
Yeah.
Well said. Okay. Brother Lomax, you back with us? That's Lomax. Can you hear? Oh, I think he may have slipped out on us there. Okay, that's cool. Pastor Wallace? Louis, did you have you had anything else you want to bring before we get out of here, big brother?
You know, I could speak for hours to you guys, but on this end, I just want to thank you for acknowledging my mother. This is the first show I've been back to, definitely since before her demise. So I'm just happy to be back and be part of the dialect and actually able to give an input from at least somebody of my standpoint, you know. So I thank you again for having me. And I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all very much.
I love you.
Love you, Louis.
Thank you.
Love jelly.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot.
Huh? Give me a cold glass of milk with that PB&J sandwich. Give me a cold glass of milk.
You're a funny guy, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate all y'all, for real. It really touched me to be back here. And I'll be back Thursday, hopefully. Is it on
Thursday? We have a different format on Thursday now. That night was dedicated to the insurance show. We're doing education on insurance, family protection, and things of that nature. So it's a little slightly different. But, you know, jump in there.
Can I still tune in? I don't have to be on the line. Can I just tune in, right?
You sure can.
I do my homework.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, that being said, look like we Pastor Lomax is gone there. Pastor Waller, I'm gonna turn the floor over to you to wrap us up for tonight, then, my brother.
Well, we just thank God for everybody who had a chance to have a say on tonight. I just trust that we draw strength from what we brought to the table as a whole. You know, the word says, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, he said he would be in the midst of us. And we thank him for being in the midst because Psalms 133:1 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Sir. It's been unified on this night, so we rejoice and give God much praise as a result of that. So all you all just continue to do what you're doing, and may God rest upon you while you're doing it. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
And we're grateful for each and every one of you taking the time to join us here on Talk Straight. Again, I want to encourage you in Nashville that are listening to us to make your plans to meet us on 40th Avenue North. At 626 there on the corner, you'll see the tents there, and we'll endeavor to move that action to 3800 Old High Sphere Road, Mount Sinai, from the Presbyterian Church, and engage our young people there. So come check us out.
OJ said it right when they made the point that you don't have a right to call me if you don't mean it. So when you come for real and be on point. We'll see you next time for another episode of Talk Show. Thank you.
How can you do it when you keep trying to rip me off? How in the world can you call me brother when we can't even have a man-to-man talk? And I'm telling you,